and welcome to the latest episode of the Racing Pod Blast with me, Tony McCormick, and Ben Aitken from Narrow in the Field. Just before the show, where Ben and I were putting the DIY world to rights. Basically, we don't do any, which is good. Welcome along, Ben. After our success in the Irish 2000 Guineas last weekend with Paddington, we are staying on the classic trail this week with three races from Derby Day at Epsom on Saturday coming under our focus. In part one of the pod, we'll cover the Epsom Dash and the Leicester Piggott three-year-old handicap, and then we'll have a quick roundup of last week's top, middle and bottom action before rounding out the pod with a dive into the Derby itself. So, welcome along, Ben. First on the agenda is the Epsom Dash due off at 3:20 on Saturday. 20 runners go to post over five furlongs. Ben, can you start us off with this one? And welcome along, mate.
Oh, Tony, yep, the Epsom Dash, the fastest five furlong sprint anywhere in the world, allegedly. Probably is, actually. Yeah, 20 runners heading to post, as you say, 20 runners heading into battle, so I think well worth taking a look at where the pace is likely to be coming from. And this year, it looks likely that most of the pace horses, I think, are housed low to middle. I'm expecting horses coming from stalls 1, 4, 6, 7, 9 and 12 to be blasting off in front. The only one maybe to be up there from the high stalls looks like Ancient Times from stall 16. So I think there is some potential for a bit of a pace bias at play for those drawn low to middle. On a shortlist, I'd be looking at a shortlist of Clarendon House, Lookout Louis, Navello, Zarzini, and Came From the Dark. Now, this is a race I'll be covering on my member service, so I've got a bit to do on it. It's because it's a race I do enjoy getting really stuck into. Had some good success over the years. Also been wide of the mark plenty of times, but as things stand, I think Navello, it's quite interesting. If you look at him in the April to June period over five furlongs or five and a half furlongs, and when he's returning off breaks of 14 days or less, you see that he's four wins from five starts. And he's also a pound below his last winning mark, and he should hopefully get an excellent toe into the race from stall five because he is in there with all those speed horses drawn around him. So Novello, he is high in my mind just now. He's around the 14 to 1 mark, which I think looks nice, good value. And the other one currently catching my eye is Clarendon House. Now, I think he should come on plenty for a seasonal debut run at York last time out. And he's a horse that does seem to peak in the June to July period because all five of his clear wins have come in June or July. And as you look at him in those months, June or July, on good or quicker ground and away from Class 1 level, he's five wins and a second from six starts. And he was only beaten less than a length on that second as well. So right now, I am looking at Novello and Clarendon House as the two of interest for me in the Dash. Tony, what are you thinking for this one?
That's an interesting one. It's fascinating as well, looking at where all the speed's going to come from, as you say, Ben. And now I've got one here that may actually lead early doors and hopefully hang on for a place. And that could be Sampa 7, which is coming from stall 12 for trainer Mick Appleby. Angle Land is another one of interest, but the two I will be following at an each-way price is Live in the Moment, who's near the top of the market, but still a decent price. Alice Haynes, Zebedee Gelding, was beaten a short head when last seen at Doncaster 2 weeks ago behind the Green Man in the 16-runner contest as well. So a decent-sized field he's performed well in. All five career victories have come over this trip. He won four on the trot 3 years ago. So it's kind of been a long time between drinks here for Living the Moment, but he's the fourth win of those four on the trot came off a mark of 89. He runs off 87 in this contest. He's on a mark he can go well off and certainly hit the frame. And the other one is Thin Blue Line, In good form, running well in defeat, last twice following a win over a similar trip at Musselburgh in April off a £6 low mark. Hopefully, I mean, he's one that is actually held up in most of his races for Keith Dalglish. Cam Hardy's on board. He'll be doing all his best work at the business end of proceedings. So hopefully, and he's a decent price. Well, both are decent prices, Thin Blue Line and Live in the Moment. But Thin Blue Line is a double figure price. But we'll be playing him and Live in the Moment, Ben, and I wouldn't put anybody off having another look at Angleland and Sampers 7 tomorrow for the Epsom Dash. Off at 3.20 tomorrow. At 3.55, Epsom, Leicester Piggott Handicap, Class 2, over 1 mile, 2 furlongs. Over to you, Ben, for this one, the Leicester Piggott Handicap.
Leicester Piggott Handicap, yep. A race that Andrew Borden, he looks to have been targeting this race recently. He won 3 of the last 4 renewals when he's had a runner in it. He saddles course winner Carovar. I think you're probably keen on Tony, but we'll come to him. You'll come to him in a bit. Carovar won at the track in April by 9.5 lengths, and the horse that finished second that day, he came out and won next time out, so form looks solid enough. A little question about the ground for Carovar, because he's done most of his racing on softer. It's not a negative, just a question. Definite shortlist material for Carovar, for sure. I quite like balance of play, though, for Rafe Beckett. He catches my eye. He makes his handicap debut here, and Rafe Beckett handicap debutants in April to June, and 3-year-old only handicaps, which they strike at around 25%, and they've pulled in over 75 points profit in the last 5 years. So balance of play, he fits that angle there. His next second seasonal debut at Salisbury last month, that also looks like good form. The winner and the third both won next time out, and the front three that day, which balance of play obviously was second of them, they were well ahead of the rest of the field. And I think the opening mark of 8-1, I think it was quite workable, to say the least, for balance of play. So quite like him in this one. And a bigger price is, I think, the Harry Eustace trained Seat Doll could possibly be interesting. She has run twice previously at Epsom. She finished a neck second and then 1.5 length third. She was looking quite progressive until struggling in the mud in the Cheshire Oaks last time out. But I think that was probably a combination of testing ground, maybe the tight Chester track, and the fact she wore first-time cheek pieces that day. Now, they drop it in the handicaps for the first time here. They remove the cheek pieces, and I do like Harry Eustace handicappers on turf in the April to June period. He's 23 winners from 70 runners under those conditions, a 33% win strike rate, and almost 50 points profit. This turf handicappers this time of year, they also pull in a 59% win and place strike rate. So Seat Daw could well be overpriced around the 20-1 mark. And I'm probably looking at balance of play and Seat Daw in this one, Tony. What have you got?
I like Fox Journey. I wouldn't put anybody off backing that or having a second look for King Power Racing, Sir Michael Stout. Harry Davis, who was all the rage last year. He was kind of the Billy Loughnane of 12 months ago, Harry Davis. He's still claiming £3. That could be vital tomorrow. He's around 5-1. Perfect player. I do like Promoter as well. The other Rafe Beckett contestant here, Ben. Promoter can go well at the price for Rafe Beckett. But it will be perfect player. He's won 2 of his last 4 starts. Joe Fanning riding as well as anyone at the minute. And he's won on good ground, perfect plays, placed over this trip as well as winning left-handed. And my other one is Cadover. William Buick in the plate for Andrew Balding. Won at this venue in April, as you say, Ben, beating 5 rivals by 9.5 lengths on soft ground over 1.5 miles. He's by Dark Angel. The sire has, in the last 4 years, a 36% win and place strike rate with his progeny at Epsom on this track, and is 2 from 6 over this trip, including Mountain Angel, who won on a couple of occasions back in 2019. I do like Cadover at a decent price, and also Perfect Player at another decent price. I've just lost it on my screen, actually. I can't believe it. Oh, that is, that's around 11 to 1. He won last time out in a handicap at Chester late last month as well. And with Franny Norton in the saddle. And I did say Joe Fanning, it was actually Franny Norton's in the saddle on Perfect Play. I do apologise about that. Perfect Play for Charlie Johnson, Franny Norton in the saddle. He's around 11 to 1. And as I said earlier, the cadaver for Andrew Balding, who's got brilliant stats, as you stated, Ben, in this race. And William Buick and his by Dark Angel, who's got a good track record with his progeny on this track here at Epsom. Right now, it's top, middle, or bottom. It's the end of season. Our end of season party. Top, middle, or bottom. Here we go. I have to say, mate, what an absolute shout from you to do the Scottish Leagues. I've had nothing but absolute fun. It's been absolutely brilliant. It's been a ball doing, and such a laugh doing the. And we hear it as well, don't we? It's quite a popular little bit of the programme, isn't it?
Surprisingly popular, Tony. It is. I would never have guessed that this time last year, but when we started doing the podcast, the Scottish Lower Leagues, we'd almost take over the show.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Loved it. Brilliant.
That's how it goes. I think that almost over the season. Park Thistle beat Ross County last night in the first leg of the playoff. And then that's the last game on Sunday, the second leg of the playoff. Park Thistle, I have found a newfound respect for them. Genuinely, again, never thought I'd be saying this, Park Thistle are playing some outstanding football. Words I have never said in my life, I don't think, but genuinely are playing for the level. Blinding football. I want them to go up because they deserve to, but then I'll miss them from our top, middle, and bottom next year. Because I really don't like the Scottish Premier, Tony, as last week's results went. Talking of last week's results, actually, cover them first. You had two winners, one loser. Unfortunately, you're still minus 1.66 because your two were odds on. But that's kind of part of the problem with the Premier, the Scottish Premier, because I said this to one of my members midweek, Rangers and Celtic games, they're kind of off the table right off the bat, and the rest of them are much of a muchness. So it's a difficult league, a boring league. I've never been good at betting in that league my entire life. Generally don't do it. But you did get two winners, one loser.
Yeah.
And you kept yourself on a season-ending total of plus 1.06.
Yeah.
Oh, you survived. You survived the harsh waters of the Scottish lower league.
Profit is profit.
Hey, and as I said, I'm pretty sure you were not somebody who was looking. I was roughly looking at the Scottish lower leagues, always have. I'm pretty sure you were not a few months ago. So it was a learning curve for you, was it? I assume.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Very much so. And Dumbarton have a lovely ground.
Beautiful. They just they can't sustain themselves till the end of the season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they start next year, isn't it? Because they had a belting start, didn't they?
They'll probably start with all guns blazing and tail off. I think it's a theme for them from what I've picked up. Myself last week, one winner, Park Thistle, fun enough, two losers, both in the Scottish Premier League. I'm not surprised there, minus 4 points, but an end of season total for plus 38.16.
Well done, mate. Well done.
I will take that again.
Good stuff.
Not someone I thought I'd be doing. I don't know what we're going to do for top, middle, or bottom over the summer, but we'll have a look. Not sure either of us are too interested in digging in the Norwegian or the Danish leagues.
No, I might bump into Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and that's
I won't get you started on that.
No.
No. I mean, that'll instantly put you on a downer.
In a bad mood.
We'll probably won't do that, but we'll have a league. We'll definitely be back top, middle, and bottom in the Scottish leagues next season for an entire run at it, I think, which will be fun. But so we'll put our thinking hats on.
Yeah, we'll come up with something.
See what we do. We do like the theme tune, So, you know, I will probably be singing it for the rest of the day. But, yeah, good fun. And we'll definitely be back with the Scottish Leagues next season. Not sure what we'll do over the summer.
Brilliant, brilliant. We'll have a look at that. We'll have a look at that. Back to the racing now. And cheers, Ben, for that. And it's the big Saturday race, of course. The Derby. Ben, what do you reckon?
Yeah, the Epsom Derby, a race that does have some solid trends to help narrow the field. A couple of trends here to help listeners with their own analysis. The last 15 winners of the race, they all finished first, second or third last time out and were beaten no more than four lengths on that run. And all 15, they were rated 107 or higher or were yet to be allocated a rating. Now, those two trends would help chop the field down plenty this year. I might be looking at a shortlist of around Arrest, Passenger and White Birch. Now, of those three, Passenger is the one I like the most. Now, I thought he would have won the Dante last time out had he secured a clear passage. I think there's a good chance he'll prove to be the best horse to come from the Dante. He ran relatively freely in the early stages of the race, but he still cruised into the final furlong like a very classy animal. And then he met all sorts of trouble as the race, you know, hit top gear. He picked up well when he finally got running room, but the winner had flown by then, and Richard Kingscote wasn't really hard on him in the final half furlong. Gave him one tap with a whip before accepting the win was out of his reach. Again, I'm pretty confident he was the best horse in that, Dante. Connections must think along similar lines as well, because they supplemented them for the Derby for $85,000. Not cheap. Also worth noting that Michael Stout, he's won the Derby four times since 1999. And all those winners had two to three previous clear starts, ran in a Class 1 race last time out, and were yet to have run at Group 1 level. Now, with those types in the Derby, Stout has a form line of first, third, first, second, first, and third. So four wins and three places from seven qualifying horses. Passenger fits that profile of recent Stout Derby winners. And he's the one at the forefront of my thinking for this currently, Passenger. And current favourite, Augusto Rodin. Now, he was clearly bitterly disappointed in the Guineas last time out. Horses beaten more than 3.5 lengths on their final start before the Derby are 0 from 69 when lining up in the Derby. Now, he could still prove to be as good as connections think he is. You know, he's Aidan O'Brien, like Willie Mullins over jumps. He can do stuff other trainers can't do. Mm. So I'm not going to be shocked if Augusto Rodin dismisses all those trends, comes back and runs a much, much better race. But I'm happy to swerve him, happy to look elsewhere. I don't really want to be back on Augusto Rodin at his current odds. And I'd actually be more tempted by stablemate San Antonio. I mean, at the prices, I just think he's been overlooked. His D stakes win... it was really good last time. He actually posted a really, really good speed figure. As always, I look at pro form speed figures, and he comes out good on that for that win in the D-Stakes. So San Antonio each way is catching my eye. Ultimately, I'm all about Passenger right now. But yeah, San Antonio's on my radar as well. Tony, what have you got?
I like that a lot. I do. I can't have this favourite. I don't know. He's, as you say, about Willie Mullins and Aidan O'Brien, the both genius trainers, but I can't have that. Those stats that you said, the last 15, and just breaking that down a little bit more, that in the last eight, the last eight winners were beaten no more than two lengths last time out. Four winners, one beaten a length and two beaten between one and two lengths as well. First three last time out. I mean, that is an absolute massive trend. It could well come over it, but at 7-2, I can't be playing at 7-2. Much more interested in doing a Dutch on Military Order and Arrest. Both are by Frankel. I do honestly believe the Frankels, like his dad, Galileo, and the final Galileo. It's a bit emotional for us people who are into the breeding side of the game as well, who have saluted Galileo over the last few years with his winners. The last representative of Galileo goes tomorrow, Ben, Artistic Star for Rafe Beckett, who's around 40-1. He'll be Galileo's last representative in the Derby. But going back to my Dutch arrest and military order, both by Frankel. Frankel's are getting stronger. They started off in 2017 with Cracksman and Eminent, finishing third and fourth. He's had a winner in Adyar. He's had a third in Hurricane Lane. And last year he had Westover finishing second, third of 17 runners. Yeah, big odds at 25-1. But I do believe as the progeny of Frankel move on and get older, they are getting stronger in the Derby. And I do like the look of those two tomorrow off at 1:30, military order and arrest. I think I agree what you say, a passenger. I think the Foxes is a decent mid each way selection. I don't think there was anything wrong with his win at York in the Dante. Or for that case, the second and third, as you say, White Birch and Passenger. But I'm with you on this San Antonio, definitely. I've been since the start of the week, since the five-day decks came out. San Antonio, Aidan O'Brien, he has put a double-figure price in before, hasn't he? Once or twice. Yeah, definitely very much in the San Antonio. Look around everyone for, you know, those that are paying four or five places, obviously. I'm not saying he's going to win, but it definitely looks a decent selection there. And 33-1, I've got him at this morning with a firm paying four places. And now that's gone now, unfortunately. I didn't have that much on, by the way, Ben. But there is one paying five places, and he's 25-1 there, so that's well worth a look. So yeah, best of luck, Ben, in the Derby tomorrow. Best of luck, everyone. Many thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Racing Pod Blast. And remember, if you're an early riser, you can catch me on Epic Radio weekdays between 5 and 7. And also 7 and 9, a new breakfast show that I'm on Shed Hot Radio. That is Shed Hot Radio. You can catch me with more racing news as well. I'll get some racing news into that one. And you can get more from Ben over on narrowingthefield.co.uk. That's narrowingthefield, of course, .co.uk. Lots to read there and lots to get into. And Ben, you've got your new season coming up, mate.
Yeah, kicked off members' summer service this week, so I'll be getting up the links for that pretty soon for anyone interested.
Yeah, look out for them. Yeah, until next week, it's thanks for most. Big thanks for listening. Thanks for your support as well. Have a great weekend. Have a great Derby weekend and the Cup final as well. Cheers, Ben.
Cheers, Tony.
Cheers, everybody. See you next week.